You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Nick.
Welcome back to part two of our special bonus butthole episode about the town hall that we had a couple weeks back. You are, dude, you have bonus buttholes.
I do. I got several.
Yeah, you got to take a look at that.
Yeah.
It would creep anybody out, bro. That's terrifying.
Well, you know, I have options.
Ugh, gross. But, you know, so if you're joining us again.
Anyway, here we are.
Yeah, we're back with the town hall. If you were listening in last week, and be sure to go back to the first part of this so that you have some context. We introduced all of our friends. We had Elijah. We had Javon. We had Kyle. We had Sasha Hutchings. We had Luke Humphrey. We had Michael Lavoie. We had Daniel Gaiman. Really good crew. Javon McFerrin, amazing people, come in. And we played a little game with them called, Explain Yourself, Fool, wherein I found deep dive pictures of them on social media and embarrassed the hell out of them. And now is the conclusion of this town hall with more games, more fun, and an even more of a special guest who just decided to barge in and be an asshole. So I can't wait till you get to hear who that is. But again, this was a visual medium as opposed to an auditory. So there are going to be references that you are hearing that are more on the visual side. If you want, again, to listen to the or to see that component, go to YouTube and type in Little Justice or Little Justice Broadway Podcast Network, and you will find this town hall and you can watch it or just sit back, relax, and enjoy part two of Little Justice Town Hall.
Little Justice. Fuck yeah. No, we are going to speak about movies. We're actually going to go back. We're going to go back to a question that Aaron Albano asked. That there was a question that I had wanted to ask too, which was just talking about we are a movie podcast, but I know that a lot of us are, have done more work in the theater. And so opening this question up to just storytelling in general, what to you, and this is a two-parter, exactly, what is everyone's best examples of storytelling in movies? Like, what are the tricks, what are the things that a movie maker or a storyteller can do to keep an audience engaged, to pull an audience in? What are the things that you as storytellers love when you see in a movie or a play or a musical or anything, dance piece? And I will also add on to that, two-parter question, what is the movie that you would say has kept you sane during this quarantine? What is the movie that you can come back to? Daniel Gaiman, your hands up first. Go ahead.
Sorry. So it's only because I was just watching. I'm that weird guy that's watching other people react on YouTube to movies that you love and watch. I'm that guy. And so I was watching this girl, Natalie Gold. She was reacting to my favorite movie of all time, The Matrix. And the opening scene of The Matrix, like you said, draws you in because it makes you ask so many questions. Because right in the top of the game, she's in front of the laptop. Who is this girl? The cops are after her. Is she good? Is she bad? And then the dialogue is so good. Like even Agent Smith says, the cop says to him, oh, we sent two units. They're bringing her down now. He looks back over his shoulder. He says, no, Lieutenant, your men are already dead. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is about to happen? It just stirs you up so much. And then she just breaks out. She defies gravity. Her and the other agent, like, they jump across the building. You're asking yourself a thousand questions. And then at the end of it, she, like, answers the phone call. It crashes in. You're just asking. It leads you to, like, your pulse is just running, just trying to figure it out. And that leads you on into the chase of the whole movie. So I think just when you're – Nick has said this to me a thousand times when I brought, like, scripts to him. He always says, like, tell what's in the room. Don't try to do backstory so much in one conversation. What they do is really just say what's in the room, but then you have to let the audience lean in. And I love that scene the more I look at it because they just ask you to pay attention right off the bat. So
it truly is a great example of writing that literally just focuses on what is present for these characters at the moment, right? The mythology of the Matrix. We're gonna wonder for the first 45 minutes of this film, and then it will be released to us. But the more that they just talk and they know what they're talking about, we lean in and want to know more. You're absolutely right. absolutely right. Who else? Who else got them? I got one. Kyle Scatlis.
I recently rewatched The Godfather. And the first scene, the way the movie opens, where you hear that father talking before you even see him, and then you see him and you see him asking for something that is really crucial for his life. For anyone that has never watched The Godfather, I'm not going to ruin anything. So,
is that the space one?
Shut up. Yeah. Godfather in the face. Pacino, De Niro, Godfather in the face. But that scene has always been, for me, when the cinematography, the blocking, something that I never really think about for movies as much until I really watched like that movie and watched someone do an analysis of the blocking of that movie. But when the blocking and the cinematography and the actors all line up, especially my favorite part of that movie is when Michael is in the restaurant and he's trying to make that decision about what he's going to do. And the camera slowly creeps in on his face as he's looking around and you hear the subway train rolling in the back right before he makes the decision. Mm-hmm. I love those moments where like everything lines up to like a climactic explosion. It's beautiful.
God,
I love that you were trying to spoil
it. James is in here roasting us for no reason.
James, Godfather 4, the search for Spock.
So weird. Who else got one? Who else? Anyone?
I got a good one.
Go for it, Michael.
I was gonna say, I think, like, kind of what was said earlier, but just like something that assumes that the audience is like that we're smart, but mm-hmm. also doesn't does not help you in any way of like this is the good guy, this is the bad guy, or anything like that. And I think my favorite thing that I was watching a while ago with that is No Country for Old Men.
Yes.
No music for you, not really helping you with that. Like, it's everything's kind of real. Nobody's surviving. also just like at the top, like I've always just like at the very top of the movie, we're already engaged and you're already uncomfortable. You get like the little bits of it. This dude's in the car. Who's this dude? Tells you who he is. What's the police station? And it doesn't let up. And then at the end of it, it's like somebody's gonna get him. Somebody. If you haven't seen No Country for Old Men, I'm not sorry. But it's like, it should be something where it's like this is how like justice will ring through, and this is how it's gonna work. And the whole movie is just like
scene when he goes into the gas station is one of the most terrifying. I watched that movie in theaters and I was terrified. He's a bad man, boy. He's a bad man.
I love like when he's talking about like, that character, like they made a really big point where there was no backstory, there was no anything like that. It is you personify death. Like you were becoming an elemental rather than a person. And it's such an interesting kind of exploration of character, which like clearly in good hands is, man, the detail when the guy's walking out of the, when he walks out of the house at the end and checks his boots.
What's the shoe?
It's lit.
Bloody coin when he's about to twist the ventilation system.
Yep. Yeah.
Bloody coin on tail.
No, I didn't even catch that part.
Spoilers for you.
Watch it again. I don't have my comfort movie here with me. I'll say like the movie that brings me kind of joy that I can rewatch now that's accessible is Spider-Man and Into the Spider-Verse, which yes. But if I were to have like my comfort movie, the original Ninja Turtles.
It's so bad that it's good.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's
not bad. They forgot it was a kids' movie.
The first one is classic.
Give me Chuck E. Cheese. Get me to the arcade. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Now wait. I need to ask though. Does nobody like the go ninja, go ninja, go.
I love go ninja.
I love that. Just like, go ninja, go ninja. Like, that was my jam, man.
Why does that remind me of the old, like, New York Knicks song?
Yeah.
We are the New York Knicks.
Sasha, what are you thinking?
I was thinking about my grocery list.
Nice. Excellent. Excellent.
Sasha's like, why did I agree to come here?
I have to go.
Like, once we got to the Ninja Turtles, like, oh man, this was like when I was like 8 with my cousins, like just sitting there and they were talking about Ninja Turtles, and I was like, I literally don't care.
That's fair. That's fair.
You are aware they were both ninjas and turtles.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, come on.
The best of both worlds.
Into the sewer, putting them into people-looking turtles.
It was a pizza.
They ate pizza. I remember the pizza.
Also, the new Ninja Turtles movie, Seth Rogen's doing it.
What?
He's like, we're gonna focus on the teenage part.
In what way?
James,
he's like, I made my career off doing teenage movies, so we're gonna do a Ninja Turtles movie and focus on the teenage.
James,
a bunch of jerking off turtles.
Wait, let's look at James Lee's.
They're
comment.
Definitely gonna be cussing a lot.
James,
I go past Sasha's growth.
The rest of us are children.
Children, literally.
Children. No, but Sasha, let me ask you this. So we're talking, like, in choreography and in like in Andy's choreography.
I'm back.
Which exactly. Is there
I like that's my sunken place.
Yeah. That's
I know the Matrix, but my dad made me watch it.
What's the thing? So, like, when you're talking about choreography, what is the thing that in choreography, like, what is something that catches your eye that just astounds you when
you see
it? Okay,
but I know movies, Nick.
I know, but I'm trying.
Choreography.
Bruh. When I asked you, you said I'm thinking about my grocery list. So I'm trying to meet you in the middle.
I got a lot.
Sasha, what is getting you through quarantine? What show or movie is getting you through quarantine?
That's fair.
Okay, honestly, I watch a shit ton of television. What have I just been watching, though? Okay, I watch a lot of bad rom-coms. I'm trying to think of, like, what... Well, okay, no, honestly, and I have mentioned this, I was watching Living Single, and that shit really was getting me through.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
And I'm kind of
that's the first time I saw my name on a TV show. Kyle. I'm here.
I made it.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about Netflix bringing on, like, Girlfriends, Moesha's.
All of UPN?
Yeah.
All of UPN.
UPN is on Netflix. I'm really excited about that. No, but I'm going to play. What's the question about the movies?
You answered the second half of the questions.
Oh my god!
It's just what story? Okay. Sound.
Okay, y'all remember Lion King?
Yes,
The animated one, right?
Yeah, please don't get it.
Yes. We're not talking about
the live action.
Can you show the live
no.
The what?
The Can You Show the Love Today sequence? Because it wasn't at night.
It wasn't at night. It was not at night. I don't understand how they made the song in the movie. You were filming the daytime.
Also, they should have got somebody else.
Non-diegetic music during.
I'm out.
Okay. They could have got a better singer to do.
I got another one. Have y'all seen Hamilton on Disney Plus?
No.
No.
I thought it was haters. My
okay.
My bad.
But wait, I.
That's rough. That's rough.
I do have.
What?
I do have.
Okay, what? One more. For real. Okay, we were talking about storytelling and Parasite. I was thinking about Parasite, and I really liked the way. different elements of the. Okay, you can explain. I'm not like a movie like
that's fine
nerd. But what I wanted to say was that I really like, and you guys can talk about this, about the way like themes of the movie and the rain sequence of the storm and how they just kept descending in the city. That was just like an incredibly like epic moment, or just something that has stuck with me about the storytelling in that movie. And I thought I was gonna be really, I hate like really suspense filled movies, or like, but I really, really enjoyed that one. And I thought that that sequence was really dope in like the use of that. What does that fucking mean?
That movie is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
It really is, yeah. Also,
why does that food she's eating look so damn good?
It does look good. James Iglehart, why are you... What is that?
That show was 3 hours.
James, yeah. We
it's a long show.
It and every, like, literally every... Like, we know. We know, James. And Memphis was 3 hours long, James. Y'all got Adam Pascal in there, and he started talking fast.
Oh, God.
I saw it before. I saw the show. But I did see James.
Tell my story.
I think we need to cut the commercial now.
I have never known that it isn't 3 hours long.
Oh, God. No, so true. It's so true.
Milkman was 3 hours and like 45 minutes before Kevin.
Stop it. Stop it.
Oh my god. It really was though. Like, I swear to God, like, the first time you do, she was like 4 hours.
Oh no!
There will be a day where that story will be able to be told.
Oh no.
And it will be hilarious.
Oh god, this is pure.
No, they had a lot of folks up in that house.
I love how you almost like went under your breath when you started going off. You're like, oh, so close.
And then Brittany said, boop.
They got to keep their job. Nope.
Going off. God.
Oh, James, stop it.
James savage, man.
Damn.
I think he
has to go. I think I hear my mom calling.
I'm sweating.
Man.
This is so bad.
Oh,
boy. Yeah, back to Ninja Turtles, though.
Oh, God.
So he does not answer the question.
Luke, what are you thinking, man? What's on your mind?
Man, I got three answers to this question. I don't know which one you want.
Any of them. Any of
first
them,
bro. Thing, my comfort movie, I recently lost it on a part that I was really looking forward to. So I got like all messed up and I watched Braveheart. And you know what? That shit was cathartic. I don't know. 12-year-old me saw it and it messed me up. Gave me the wrong kinds of tingly feelings. And
I never understood Mel Gibson. I never.
Really?
Horrible person. Director.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, good director.
He gets structure.
May not be like one of the nice. He may be an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
But that dude can act his ass off.
And direct his ass off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's a great director.
I mean,
Mel Gibson, this is what
James. James. You gotta stop.
James is gonna get us all fired.
Oh my
god! My goodness!
Terrible.
Oh god! Oh, man. I just saw this tweet today that said directors get credit for a good script and good actors.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not true. Yeah. That's not always true.
Well,
not always true. Name. But
are we talking like movies or are we talking theater?
I mean,
because
if you're talking movies, I would say that that would be a false equivalency for movies, because really, movies are directing medium more than anything else, isn't it? So you got to be a good director to make good movies.
Well, no.
Unless sometimes it falls apart.
You also need a good editor.
You know what?
Editors probably the most collaborative.
Yeah. You know what I just saw was this movie, The Farewell, that just came out, the Awkwafina movie.
It's
a great script. It's shot very well. It's acted very well. At the end, I was like, you know, like, anybody probably could have directed it this way. Like, it was just, it was safe. You know, everything about it was just safe. It was like, it was good. But I think that's because of all the elements put together. You know, it didn't feel like there was something behind it. And I think, like, they say you can make a bad movie off a good script, but you can't make a good movie off a bad script.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Room?
That's very true. The Room?
Shut up. You can make a bad movie off of that. Yeah.
Shut up.
Off bad
I would just like you all to see what James just wrote.
Nope. I'm not paying attention. James on timeout. James on timeout.
Does he just want to come in here and say his piece? Like,
honestly.
Just let him get on camera.
The thing is, it's we're at capacity. We can't
we're capacity.
Have
James can't come in.
Like a vote off the island thing.
The I mean, Room. Oh my god!
I thought we could do 10. There's only 9 in here.
So we're gonna move on because this question clearly is gonna get us.
I want to answer the question.
Okay. Oh God!
You're really close. You want some grandma shit right now? You're like, can you see me?
I understand. I just dropped my headphone in my drink, but it's fine.
Oh my God! Answer the question.
Oh, he's already gone.
Let's let me know who we're voting on.
The universe has answered this one.
Wow.
We can't hear you.
Go to your cam and mic settings.
He's having a problem.
At the bottom.
Man, this better be a good movie.
It better be the best thing.
We're hearing echoes because of Elijah's headphones.
Oh no.
Brent warned us about AirPods too, but we started.
Eli, stop. Turn them off.
Eli's cut.
All right, we got room for James.
All right, bring James on.
I'd like to just throw out that I've been watching Kitchen Nightmares and watching Gordon Ramsay scream at people for hours, and that's what's been getting me through. Oh, it's been great.
You back?
Okay.
Yes.
All right, cool.
I'm back.
This better be amazing.
One thing that I love about a movie or a movie that does this, because I think it's extremely difficult to do, but something that does a very good job of jumping through the timeline. So for example, Memento is a really good movie. I feel like that does a great job of not giving you everything all at once. And so you're kind of on your seat and invested in the movie to figure out who did the murder. Like you're on this ride with the main character, and that I feel like the way that they do that with jumping through the timeline is amazing.
I just rewatched that movie like 2 weeks ago, and there's this amazing video of Chris Nolan on YouTube explaining the entire timeline of the movie. It's amazing. He talks about why they made the timeline the way they made it, what the black and white scenes mean going one direction and like the color scenes go the other direction, and there are scenes that inform other scenes. Like he talks about the entire thing. It's like 20 minutes long, and he does it on a whiteboard.
Yeah,
and just goes for it. It's amazing
watching that movie And it's the moment when it's like the opening scene where he's running with the guy parallel to him. He's asking, mm-hmm. he hears dialogue. He says, I think I'm chasing this guy. He's going towards, no, this guy is chasing me. As soon as that happened, I said, oh, no.
Like, where are we? What the hell is happening?
Exactly.
He's honestly one of those unsung writers because he's such a good director that most of those movies he writes with his brother. So, like, to me, I'm like, how much of that is you and how much is him? And you never know.
Westworld, man, probably a lot of it's Jonathan.
Because a lot of it's Jonathan? Like, I don't know if it's just
on point.
Yeah. Daniel, what you... What, Daniel?
No?
I think both of them really... I was just going to say right before you brought up Westworld because you see their differences when they do their own things.
Right.
Like, I think... Chris even brought him on to do The Dark Knight. He brought him on to do Interstellar. I don't think he brought him on to do Inception. That was all Chris.
I think that's all Chris.
Inception is based off of a DuckTales comic strip. So,
I think there are differences when they do split apart because we don't have time to get into it. I was a fan of Westworld until the finale of the first season, but. You see their differences of how they tell their stories, but I think their execution is amazing. But they're actually—I don't even know if I'm putting in the right words, but I really think they do better together than they do apart.
It's so true.
I'd agree with that.
I would also agree with that. Mm-hmm. Listen, so gentlemen, I think it should be time. For our second game.
Okay.
I think that we should.
I need another drink.
Get another drink.
Anybody got anything? Do they have to do? Like,
yeah.
No.
And by the way, second game is.
Yeah, I'm so second with game, my quarantine schedule. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they need walking or.
So, what is your background? Or is it daytime? What's happening?
He's in his grandma's sunroom.
He's in a solarium.
I hate grandma's sunroom.
That explains his internet connection.
This is the hull of a ship.
I'm pretty sure everyone in this room has this, but I just want to show everybody the Death Star ice cubes.
Whoa!
I'm sure everyone has these, but.
Sure, everyone has these.
I don't have guys.
I'm gonna take.
I don't. I saw it and I wanted it. Don't have
all
it.
All right, guys. Sasha's gonna bounce on us. She has to go to a private.
You guys really want to play the next game about Ninja Turtles? I'm so sorry. You gotta go. Bye.
We love you, Sasha. Thank you for being here.
Bye, Sasha.
We love your
Sasha.
We love you. We love you. We love you. Oh my God! So, gentlemen,
can't we bring the competition on here?
Well, here's the thing. I think now that Sasha was like the only, besides Britt, was the only cool person in this chat. We got to bring someone if we're gonna let go of Sasha. We got to.
Tell me you have another guest.
Can we vote on this? Either super cool or like the worst person ever. I vote.
Both are James.
I think
if James pops up right now.
I mean, should he pop up?
Based on how the episode we did with him went, like, it's game over. It's game over if that dude comes on here.
I mean, listen.
Yes! You better with the Samoa Joe shirt,
here
yes!
Here we go.
One of the best theme songs in the WWE.
Yes, brother, you know.
Samoan submission machine. Come on, let's go.
I mean, there are so many stars in this wonderful meeting tonight. But you knew that Nick couldn't hold it by himself, so you had to bring me in. I mean, Yeah. I mean, look, the bad part is you brothers were bringing up some amazing topics and some amazing, and Sasha was over there literally painting her nails. So I was like, you know, put her brother in. I was waiting for Sasha to at least jump on the Ninja Turtle thing and like bring up, I don't know, Friendship is Magic with the, you know, with the My Little Pony. Homegirl, did you see her? She was struggling to find the movie. And I'm only dissing Sasha because she let that boy, that tall, weak ankled brother that put that ugly genie picture of me on their last podcast. So I'm coming after Sasha and her afro. So that's why I'm coming here like that.
Oh,
well, y'all talk about movies, and Sasha brought up Hamilton on Disney Plus.
Really?
I'm out.
We're not missing the show. We all work for them. We gotta bring that up. They on Disney. They got a commercial.
Oh God!
But since we're talking about movies, that really like just Nick, take your hand off your face. It's COVID. Take your hand off your face. You can't touch yourself. Listen. Since we're talking about movies, you're trying to save the boy's life.
The first thing
the boy does when his wife goes away is touches his face. He ain't got a
God,
being honest. So, when we're talking about movies and things, for me, one of the best introductions of a movie is, and I'll give you two movies. One is a traditional animated film, but the way it is told is through computer animation, but you can't tell because at the time we didn't know what it looked like. Beauty and the Beast. The fact that you set up the entire story through stained glass, you know exactly where you're gonna go, you know exactly what you're gonna be. And then all of a sudden, for all those people who have never been to Broadway before, Ashman and Macon break into Bonjour. You're done. The movie was nominated for an Oscar after that moment. Yeah. Once that 6-minute song ended, from the stained glass moment to that song, it was over. They finally lifted Disney up to where Snow White was. The other movie that I love, and I think it's you could never do this movie today. You could never do this movie today because everybody would get offended. Everybody would be mad. And everybody's mama would be tweeting, you couldn't have this movie with social media. It is my favorite movie in the world, Blazing Saddles by Mel Brooks.
Yes! I was like, it's either the Blazing Saddles or Tropic Thunder. I don't know.
Jeez. I was like, Tropic Thunder or Gone with the Wind. I was like, what is this?
It's so great and so bad at the same time. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you the jokes in the movie. Because somebody would tweet and literally be like, oh my God, the genie said a cuss word. I mean, literally you can't. Blazing Saddles is my favorite film. And whenever I feel bad, whenever I feel down, I turn that bad boy on and they offend everyone. And it is
everybody.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. No, I mean, and the great thing was Mel Brooks was smart enough to know that in order to write a film like this, I need a brother on staff. And the brother he picked was Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the writers on that thing. You got Richard Pryor, you got him, and you got all of his boys from the Sid Caesar show. Just ridiculously amazing amount of comedy in that film. And if people can watch it today and enjoy it, but if you were to make it today, you destroy your thing. You destroy your movie company. People would be mad at you for days.
James, I would like you to look at the comments section. Sasha just left you a present.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you.
She said, you're welcome, James. I just wanted to make space for more men.
Sasha, you know what's funny? There are so many things I can say, but we're in 2020, and no matter what I say, it's going to make me look bad. So, Sasha, thank you. You know what, Sasha? Honestly, Sasha, it wasn't that you were making place for men. I was saving you as the strong, intelligent Black woman that you are to be in this mundane conversation because you should be talking about something more important, about the things that sisters and ladies are going through at this time. We have Black Lives Matter, but we also have the fact that women have been treated terribly from the beginning of time. And that's not a joke, that is real. So, Sasha, I understand why you had to leave because why do you have time to talk about movies? You got stuff to do.
That's true. That's true. We ain't lying.
That is called saving yourself, James Ivory. Yeah, I said this man knows all the bullets.
Hey,
I don't know if you know, but I've been married for 18 years.
Yeah.
Now we did miss out. We did miss out.
You learned a thing or two.
James
well,
did miss out.
With that being said, thank you for letting me on. I'm gonna let you guys get back. I have to leave. I actually have a job tomorrow. Shut up, Nick.
James, we just want to say before you leave.
Can't hear you. What?
Can you not hear? You can't hear me right now. No, he can hear me. Before you leave, we were playing a game of context. We have pictures from people's social media. We just want to pull this up. Brittany, can you pull up the picture from James's social media?
I have to go.
James, you look that was great. Well done. That was well, you know what? You know, that was well done. That was well done. You know, I have to give it to you, Nick. I have to give it to you, Nick. That was good. But the one thing we have not talked about.
Oh no.
We have not talked about the fact that Nick is a lot older than we think.
I hate it.
And we cannot. We have not talked about the fact that Nick's first starring role before, you know, Nick was in movies before Broadway. Nick just doesn't like to talk about it. And,
I hate you.
You know, I understand why Nick doesn't bring it up because it's one of the most popular movies around. It's a great Christmas movie. But the fact that Nick starred in Gremlins as Stripe and he never brings it up is just ridiculous. So I just want to say... I just want to say that Nick, listen,
oh
bro,
my
it is,
God.
It is so, it is, I'm honored. We're all honored to be in the present. And what's great about Nick is such a great actor. He didn't need any makeup. That he just stowed up the sets. I mean, look at the ears. You can post that up. You can post it up. Because here's the thing. Nick. Put the picture back on me. I'm going to show you something. I want a Tony for that crap. That brother's
hey. Dance on the Tony stage.
Still talking about it. People want to bring up Hamilton. I was in Hamilton before Hamilton was Hamilton. The first Mulligan was.
Yep.
That's right.
So this is right. I want to thank all of you. You guys are amazing. Each and every one of you is a damn professional, except for Nick Walker. I am out.
Bye. We love you, Sam. Oh, God.
Man. Wow. Amazing. Oh, God
damn. Man. Right.
I'm sorry if none of us have careers after this. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I've done this to you. I didn't mean to.
I mean, we don't have any at this moment right now anyway.
Right.
It's a
good time for
this. So let's wrap this up with this. James bounced. James said he's done. Let's wrap this up then with one last game. I just want to really quickly. We have a nice trivia game for you here. Coming back to our theme of movies, and thank you in advance for coming here and spending time with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, if you've been hanging out, that's great.
Yeah, that's, thank you. One more.
My mom's watching.
That's awesome.
Hey, mine too.
Little Justice on Twitter and Instagram. Please go follow us, Little Justice Pod, on Twitter and Instagram. So the final game that we want to play is just a game, Guess the Flick. Very simple, very simple. So we're going to bring up a fragment from a screenshot of a movie. You have to guess what
I'm
movie
gonna
it's
lose.
Like.
Nick did this, so it's probably Jurassic Park, The Wire, Dark Knight.
It's gonna be real.
Dark Knight.
Hey, this Avengers.
Avengers. Yeah, something like Civil War.
I will say the first one you should be able to guess pretty. Can we do frag one?
Batman Game Begins.
So
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. And can we see frag
that
hole
is Jurassic
three?
Park.
One hole. Jurassic Park.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Go get him, Dr. Grant.
That was a
yep.
He's gonna be in the next
Malcolm,
one.
Welcome, please. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to trivia two, please. Frag.
That's the Dark Knight.
Okay.
That's after she gets blown the hell up.
Yep. Yeah. Let's go to trivia two.
Yep.
The Dark Knight.
Goodness gracious.
It's so gorgeous.
Bruce is sad.
Gosh.
Trivia three frag.
Back to the future.
There you go.
Back to the future.
Yeah.
Come on, out here.
Boom. Out here. sleeve, though.
Y'all know your sleeves.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on, guys.
trivia four, Crag, please.
Oh, Iron Man?
Tony Stark's chest.
It's got to be Avengers.
Yeah. Endgame.
Okay, let's go to trivia four.
Yeah, it's got to be. Wow. It's got to be the newest one because the triangle.
Yeah, the triangle was in there.
Okay. And
the center was weird.
Trivia five, Frag, please.
Animal crackers.
No, it animal crackers. Is that
Casablanca?
Oh, is that
Okay, let's go to
that is with the twins.
Nope.
Oh,
it is Casablanca.
Casablanca.
I thought the guy looked different. Sorry.
That's all right. It's all good. Different. Trivia six, Frag, please.
Hereditary.
Yeah.
That movie is so brilliant.
Oh, I have yet to see it. I'm not a
horror fan. Oh my God.
Trying to get my girlfriend to watch it.
We were fucked up. So good.
Damn. He should have been nominated for an Oscar.
100%.
Yes.
Is it horror or is it just...
Oh, man.
We were not right for days after that movie. We were
not right for days.
It's a horror movie. It is a horror
movie.
But it's brilliant.
But it's really well acted.
Horror film. It's more like psychological horror than like slasher kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I didn't think so. It worked.
Yeah.
Trivia seven, Frag, please.
Except for that.
Come on now.
See? You got to do this. Trivia seven,
you zoom out. That's Mr. the main King? Character.
What's up, Coleman Domingo?
Come on, John Lewis out
Come
here.
Come on, Coleman.
Come on. Trivia eight, Frag, John please.
Lewis?
Rosemary's Baby.
This is the final one. Trivia nine, Frag.
That's me.
Isn't it?
Trivia nine hole, please. Trivia nine hole.
Is that you and your show? Oh my god.
You and
your show.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
That is funny.
There we go. See? You guys are good at this. This is great. Guys, it's been such a pleasure. There's an outro. There's all these great things. But before we let you go in these last 2 minutes, can we just all go around and say if there's a movie recommendation you have for the people during quarantine, what is one movie that everyone should watch? And again, please, if you haven't yet, follow Little Justice on Instagram and on Twitter. It's been such a pleasure. But everyone think about what is a movie recommendation you got.
Does that have to be a movie?
It doesn't. No. TV show?
Anything. Oh, okay.
I May Destroy You.
I may destroy you.
If anything.
Nice.
That is what is next on my list to watch.
Yeah,
ooh.
Very excited to see that.
Destroy me? Is it actually? Am I going to be wrecked with tears?
I just say like have ice cream and like maybe something else. If you're watching it like straight,
that's just good. Like
I don't know, because I just watch it. I will like watch them back to back, like one episode, like back to back. It's just really, really great, great. Michaela Cole is just everything.
Amazing.
Yeah.
HBO.
TV. Yeah. Mm-hmm. TV show wise, I don't know about a movie, but
movie wise, I'm gonna say The Five Bloods.
Yo,
that was a real dope movie.
Yes,
that was a real fun one. That movie was really good.
So good.
Yeah, it was interesting to see Vietnam portrayed in a way that you've never seen it, just through the eyes of black men. It was very. Very cool.
I just want to point out Sasha's contribution in the comments, which we don't need to.
Okay.
Why are you still here?
You don't have to. A donation? I'm not getting no money from that.
Terrible. Right. It's terrible. Anybody else? Who else got one?
I think it's kind of polar opposite of you may destroy you. I'm watching Marvelous Miss Maisel which is actually fantastic dialogue, like fantastic storyline, fantastic execution of show and quality and acting. I'm just blown away. Mr. Shalhoub, how do you say his last name?
Tony Shalhoub.
Oh my god. Phenomenal. This dude, jumped from the Tonys to this. Got it. Cool. Okay, cool. Great. It's fantastic. I'm watching that now, and I recommend that. Movie-wise, I can't. The Last Samurai, I watched that a couple weeks ago, and it takes its time. It really, like, Ken Watanabe is phenomenal. Like, more than I've ever seen him. I've seen him, like, I saw him in Batman Begins and Inception, but I never saw him. Like, this was truly in his element and everything.
Amazing. Lukey, what you thinking?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Umbrella Academy Season 2 because it just came out. My wife worked on it, and if you all watch it, she'll get a promotion. So,
There you go.
Pay my bills, y'all. Watch that show. I don't know, man. I've been like comfort movies, man. I watched, Chantal and I watched Speed. I've been like hooked on like weird reality TV shows, like Alone. You guys seen Alone? It's just a bunch of people who are alone. Out in they're trying to survive in nature. What?
Oh, your formation of sentence was like, I've been watching weird reality shows alone. Like it was just like
watching a show, man.
Wait, they just put him in the forest or something?
Yeah. So there's season seven is there's just 10 people who go out to the Arctic and they have 100 days to survive by themselves. They're allowed 10 items.
Whoa.
And like,
oh wow.
I find
this is like Naked and Afraid.
Naked
and Afraid and cold.
Starving to death slowly over a period of time. But like, I've never, like, there's something about it, especially during now, I find it really kind of comforting to go out into like nature. And also, when someone finds food, I get such a sense of joy. Like, just like, I find it, they're like, they're warm tonight.
Oh, God.
Makes you
great. Yeah, it's been a lot of comfort food watching, you know what I mean, man? Just like,
yeah, I love that. Javon, what you thinking?
All right, well, the first movie that popped in my head, because me and my girlfriend Emily just watched it like a month ago, The Invisible Man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
That
was good.
Absolutely fantastic.
Okay.
The story was just like when we were talking about things that get you with movies, the first 5-10 minutes of the movie, you're just already locked in. We watched this thing afterwards about like how they did things with the camera angles, you know, where they kind of just have a camera on an open space, and so you kind of so your mind is the only thing that's really playing tricks on you because you actually don't know what's happening. Besides that, a lot of trash TV and NBA basketball because they got it right and they're in a
sure
bubble.
Did.
They in a bubble. Ain't no corona coming into Disney
Major League
World.
Baseball need to learn.
No rona.
Unless you're literally.
Unless
you go to Magic City.
Let's go. Come on.
Married at First Sight. If you need like some good trash.
That show is funny.
That show is so funny.
It's so good.
Crazy it's so funny. To me,
yeah.
So
Married at First Sight.
Yes.
Yep. That Indian marriage matchmaking thing.
Yes, I've seen that. Savannah's been watching that. It's really good.
It's fantastic.
It's
and
really good.
I'm hearing good things about Love on the Spectrum. I want to see that.
Also really good. She's been watching that too. Yeah. Really good.
Okay.
Brittany, our producer, is also saying Indian matchmaking is amazing.
It's really good.
Alex, what you thinking? What's your choice?
It's kind of a renaissance for horror TV, to be honest. We just rewatched The Haunting of Hill House, and it I'd seen it before, and I still got through. I was enraptured the whole time. I was like, this show is amazing.
It's like a horror version of This Is Us.
Competent it is in terms of horror. Yeah. Like you think that they go off the rails because we also been watching American Horror Story, which is like all over the place. Every season is like crazy, but Haunting of Hill House was
beautiful. I don't think I've had something affect me more in a TV show recently since Brokeback Girl in that fucking show.
Oh my god!
And when you find out what
that
is,
That
I absolutely screamed when I was like, "That is
good.
Quite a that was great."
And the fact, and right in the middle of the
twist,
stay,
they stick like a Unbroken shot episode. It's like three edits in the whole episode.
Oh,
that they
yes,
works.
That
works
on one set. That was beautiful.
Is that the episode when they first go back?
They all finally are like together. I think it's the first
and they're just hashing.
Oh yes.
As much as you're enjoying all these shows and movies, if you want a great laugh or a great cringe, I suggest you watch Netflix's The Last Day of American Crime.
Oh my God, please don't.
We watched it in one fell swoop.
It's one
and
of the
when
worst
I tell you, it's the worst thing you've ever seen.
Really?
It's one of the worst.
It has 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is that the mob documentary?
And maybe five.
What's it called?
The Last Days of American Crime. Okay, this is the premise of the movie is that America has created the system that is going to stop people from committing crimes. A brainwave. There's something that has to do with brainwaves that stops you from even being able to like take your body to like do something that would be against the law. So these people go.
So they're not funding underfunded communities. That's not
how
okay.
But these people go to rob a bank. They try to do the biggest bank heist of all time before the brainwave machine gets turned on. And this movie is atrocious.
Amazing.
Like I literally had Daniel and Fergie here, and I went off for like 2 hours explaining to them how bad this movie was.
Like, you ready for the director's name? Stage name: Olivier Megaton.
That's his name.
That's his stage name. Born Olivier Megaton. But he decided to go with Olivier Megaton.
What was the other? He did some other movie, right? What was the other movie?
Transporter 3.
That's what trash movies.
Oh God,
it's trash.
Transporter 3, trash.
I'm just reading through the reviews right now. They're so
What's it called? Because I'm gonna watch it.
The Last Days of
American Crime.
It's truly one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It's so long, too. It's so long.
But Edgar Ramirez, man, like that guy was supposed to pop. Like,
he
came out and he was like, yo, this is Brando. Like, what's going on with this guy? And now he's doing this. Like, what happened career wise? Like, choices along the way.
I think he made a podcast like this and ruined his career.
And it was funny because that's what, like, most of the reviews, they keep going, Edgar Ramirez, what the hell happened? Like, why did you? It's really an odd moment.
Before they saw the script.
Wow.
Oh, boy, that movie sucks.
Well, there you go.
0.5 out of 5.
It's terrible.
Well, gentlemen, this has been an absolute pleasure.
You're not going to ask me.
No, because Eli, you took your time when you messed up.
Mic working?
Hey, it wasn't my fault, okay?
You dropped it in your Kool-Aid.
Eli, what's yours? Go.
Okay.
Our producer, sure. Brittany Sandon Smith, in the
Nightmare.
Eli, what's yours, buddy?
So for TV, I'm gonna have to go with Javon McFerrin in 20s. It's beautiful.
Singing for no reason.
Singing for no reason, but it's beautiful. Beautiful work. I got through that series in like a day because it was just I was like, oh, this is great. I can definitely
quick 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's quick. It's quick. It's great. I love. How they're just tackling, you know, a younger generation trying to come up and like go after their dreams. I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. I think the writing is incredible. And for movies, I just recently watched Greyhound. And it was interesting. I was stressed the whole time, like the entire time, which I guess was the point of it, but it was interesting to think about because I had never seen a war movie where they're at sea and they're fighting submarines, like literally shooting and launching, depth charges at an enemy that they can't see. And they have to like figure this out based on sonar and radar whenever they do pop up to the surface. And it was just, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Is that the one with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Eli, do me a favor. Go right now and rent The Hunt for Red October.
Hell yeah.
Or Crimson Tide.
Or Crimson Tide.
You need to go ahead and check those out.
Dunkirk, even, man.
That's kind of Dunkirk. Dunkirk, man. That's Dunkirk. Old school.
I rewatched Dunkirk. Oh.
Brilliant.
Dunkirk can be stressed for no reason. Like,
the most stressful.
Bro, I was so stressful.
It messed me up, man.
Brilliant.
So good. Go ahead.
I had one question I've always wanted to ask all of you. What is your biggest Oscar snub of all time?
Social Network not getting Best Picture.
Okay, there's one. For me, it's always been Saving Private Ryan losing to Shakespeare in Love.
I agree.
That's always been
the one for me.
There was another one we talked about on the podcast. I can't remember what it is now.
I mean, I don't remember. I will say, I think the fact that it took Training Day for Denzel to win.
Mine's like a 3-year mess up because it was the same three people that were nominated. It was Denzel, Kevin Spacey, and Russell Crowe. Mm. Russell Crowe's first movie came out. He was the insider, and Denzel was up for Hurricane.
Yep.
And Kevin Spacey was up for American Beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Should have gone to Denzel.
Mm.
And then Kevin Spacey won. And then they gave it to Russell Crowe because they were like, oh, he's the next guy. So they gave it to him for Gladiator. Because he should have won for A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
Denzel should already had his Oscar because Kevin Spacey already won for Usual Suspects.
Yep.
Which is a fantastic movie.
For a long time, I always said to people, I'm like, Russell Crowe should have won that year for Beautiful Mind instead of Denzel, and Denzel should have won a long time ago before.
I mean, he had already won.
Should have been his.
Yeah, he had already won for Glory.
Yeah,
he won with a tear. He won with one.
That one tear.
What Sasha said? Chat. I was going to say that. La La Land.
I hate
La La Land. La
La Land. I don't.
Boo.
Booty.
I knew I wasn't going to like La La Land when they danced in traffic.
I knew I wasn't going to like La La Land when I saw Daniel Gaiman dancing at the beginning of that damn movie on the highway.
Why the hell you dance in traffic? That doesn't happen in LA.
Never finished that movie. We shut down the highway. No one liked
it. In LA, people were angry shutting down traffic. I can't imagine.
Nobody is dancing through traffic.
Oh my God.
Javon, it was on our episode of the podcast. We were talking about how Denzel lost to Scent of a Woman.
Yep.
That was the thing. I was like, how the
Yeah,
he lost Malcolm X to Scent of a Woman.
Yeah.
Never mind. Social Network, sorry. That tops that.
Yeah, that tops that.
Wait, Daniel, who won the year Social Network?
King's Speech, which I still need to watch.
I think I'm just biased
because I've only seen Social Network. It's one of my top five favorite movies. I should watch it.
Watch King's Speech.
It's really good.
King's Speech is phenomenal.
Also, just performance wise, it's tight.
Yeah, bro.
Just like good actors.
And the climax of the movie really brings it together.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, I don't want. So Brittany has been. Sasha needs to stop.
Both her and Aaron.
This has been a rousing success. Me and Britt are texting. We got to do this again. It will happen again.
Yeah.
We'll make it even more chaotic than it is already. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. Please follow us at Little Justice Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Keep in touch with us. Keep in touch with these guys. You can find all of these guys on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram. They're all there. And look up their names and they shall be there. We will talk to you guys soon. But it's been a pleasure. Have a great night, Britt. And thank you so much to our amazing producer, Britt.
Thank you, Britt.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, guys. Justice,
little justice, little justice. Fuck yeah.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the Rise Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.